we used to call this the eight ball. That's where we tested chemical and biological weapons. And the we is the royal we, the United States of America. So we don't hear about that cover-up when that whistleblower comes out in the summer of 14. And all of a sudden, Tony Fauci's standing next to Obama, and we're bringing this plane, and everybody's in suits like you've seen on TV. And they fly into the CDC, and the CDC says, oh, we cured them with this magic serum from this small company in San Diego. Bullshit. So it was all staged to cover up that, and so then the congressional inquiry never happens. And I think the same kind of thing we can talk about with 911.
With the COVID-19 virus crisis and the number of casualties with the flu, if you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your immunities by now, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight viruses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe as long as you are taking high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exists. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. Fourth, as Dr. Chu Lee stated on a previous show, COVID-19 creates massive amounts of free radicals, which is causing organ failure for those with weaker immune systems. So now it becomes clear you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Why black seed oil and curcumin? Because these two ingredients are the absolute best at supporting C60 to fight viruses and to improve your immune system. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful for building your immunities. And it's now available in gel capsules and by diffuser for more serious needs. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwestall. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Dr. Judy Michalowicz coming to the program. She is a pioneer. She has been, you got to read information about her. She's been, well, depending on what information you read, you don't want to read the smear job done by the powers that be. She has done amazing research. She is the reason, her research is the reason why millions of people are not dying from AIDS. She is the reason that we know so much more about these viruses. Her work has been published on Time Magazine. She is just great. But she has also been persecuted as a whistleblower because she has exposed a lot of the evil and corrupt practices that are going on in the medical establishment. And as I've said before with other whistleblowers, I can really tell if they are scared or the whistleblower is telling the truth, not even by what the whistleblower is saying, but the behavior and the persecution and the abuse that those whistleblowers are suffering tells me that there's something here, because these guys use the same tactics on the people. They just abuse the hell out of these whistleblowers. And so that's how you know that they're telling the truth. They've been jailed without trial. You know, they destroy their lives. They smear them. It's just a complete campaign that they don't do to people who aren't true whistleblowers. And that tells me her information is so valuable to us and that we need it, because it exposes some of the biggest crimes that are out there. And she's going to talk about this, about not just the COVID-19 and this current coronavirus, but she's going to talk about vaccines in general. It all ties together. She has a new book that's out there. It's called Plague of Corruption. And they're trying to keep the censorship from occurring. And they're asking people to pre-order on Amazon, and she'll send you the electronic copy right away. And then you will also get a hard book cover copy of it. And this is their way of getting around the censorship. There is a foreword done by Robert Kennedy, and for my patrons, she is providing the foreword for them for free that you can get on Patreon if you're a member. You can get that at patreon.com/Sarah Westall. It helps support the show. And I also want to say we talk about fluorine, C60, and how important that is. And she comes up with other things as well that's really important because we have solutions. She talks about the Rife machine and the frequencies. And I'm going to hook her up with Sherry Edwards. They know of each other's work. It's so important. There are solutions here, people. We are not sitting ducks for this virus. We are not sitting ducks for any future bioweapon that heads our way. We are okay, and we can solve these problems. So let's get into this really important interview with Dr. Judy Michalowicz. Judy, welcome to the program.
Good to be here, Sarah.
Thank you so much for joining. You've been very highly recommended as the person to talk to. So I am very excited for you to be on this show. I know that you have extensive experience in viruses and even working in bioweapons laboratories. And I mean, you are the person I should be talking to. And you are also a whistleblower who stands for integrity and truth and what's right. And that's another reason why I want to talk to you, because I can trust more what you're going to say, right? So thank you so much. Yeah. But I want to start with, I just interviewed somebody. It's going to come on after this show. And he saw a video from the European Union saying where they are talking amongst themselves at the highest levels in the European Union, talking that they know it's a bioweapon and they need to determine how they're going to release, get the military to start taking, because they have military procedures when there's bioweapons. And so they're actually starting to implement this thing, but they're not coming out to the public and telling it's bio, other than us all saying it is. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, my thoughts on bioweapon, of course, there's a lot of data showing that, there was a collaboration funded by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, that's NIAID, which Tony Fauci's headed since 1984. And so right there at Fort Detrick, Maryland, it's called USAMRID, U.S. Army Research Institute in Infectious Diseases. And it's literally right across the street from the Cancer Institute. So Tony Fauci, for at least a decade, has funded studies between the Wuhan group and a group in North Carolina. There's a group in Canada working in a biosafety level 4 lab like this. And so right there in the publication of thinking about SARS, the severe acute respiratory syndrome virus number one, this is, of course, severe acute respiratory syndrome virus, coronavirus number two. And the cell lines, that the tissue culture material, the animal tissue that they were growing the virus in and studying the virus in, came out of that Fort Detrick bioweapons lab. That's what it is. So that's, I'm showing you the cover I just got yesterday, our new book, Plague of Corruption. And in the middle of that book are a group of pictures showing Fort Detrick and the Cancer Institute, where I worked, the bioweapons laboratory. Here is the picture on the top of that laboratory. And you can see that we used to call this the eight ball. That's where we tested chemical and biological weapons. And the we is the royal we, the United States of America. So you're right next to the Cancer Institute and my AIDS research facility there. And yes, I published a paper how my job in 1999 was to teach Ebola, different strains of Ebola, the more pathogenic ones, to infect human cells or animal cells without killing them. So theoretically, I was told so that we could attenuate them, that is, make them weaker. But in fact, you can make them stronger. It's called gain of function. You know, we're not God. All we're doing they call it passaging. We just keep reinfecting and reinfecting and reinfecting different animals with this originally bat virus. And it is very theoretically possible that that some of these mutants, some of these viral strains were released accidentally into the environment, into the water around Fort Detrick. In fact, in 2019, for at least several months, that USAMRID biosafety level facility where this work had been going on back and forth between Wuhan, China, Canada, Seattle, North Carolina, Harvard. These are people that are on the paper, and they write where they got the cells from, the cells to grow the virus. The viruses was USAMRID at Fort Detrick in Frederick, Maryland. So that lab was shut down last year for safety concerns. Oh, so right in the middle of the summer, maybe the spring, the laboratory, I can find the exact dates, it was shut down because it was for safety concerns. So people couldn't even go in there. So what was released then? And was it deliberate? You don't have to even go to that fact to say weaponized or released, but there it's clear that, you know, I did the work with Ebola in 1999, and I did it between, say, 1995 or 1994 and 99. And of course, in 2014, the Ebola, you know, that killed 21,000 people in Liberia, before Kent Brantley, the doctor who was working, the American doctor who was working over there, and Nurse Nancy, and I don't remember her last name, but he wrote a book called for Life, meaning in the Christian sense, God calls you, and it might have cost him his life trying to help those people who got that infection, that deadly Ebola strain. Well, this strain, everyone said, oh, it's just a natural isolate, but it had 300 mutations different from the Zaire strain, and it's pretty clear it's the same strain that we were working, you know, that we changed to infect human cells in Fort Detrick in the mid-90s. So how it got to Liberia in 2014, who knows? But, you know, there's our Centers for Disease Control. And your audience may remember, you know, they brought this doctor back. It was actually the doctor, his name is John Fankhauser, who cured him. And what he gave him was anti-malarial drugs. How interesting. Let's make sure no co-infections spin the immune system, do more damage, so that you just simply clear the landscape, make him as strong as possible by giving him anti-malarial drugs, because malaria is a big deal in that part of the world, and giving him saline infusions. So infuse liquids, vitamin C, things we've been talking about the last few weeks, and you know, and let a strong young man develop immunity. Yes, he got very sick, but he recovered, and they then used his antibodies to treat others. And you know, they tried the quarantine then. I think it was December 1st of 2000. It was in the summer of 2014. And again, you're covering up whistleblower William Thompson of the CDC, saying they manipulated the data that said, in fact, vaccines could cause autism in susceptible populations. So we don't hear about that cover up when that whistleblower comes out in the summer of 14, and all of a sudden Tony Fauci standing next to Obama, and we're bringing this plane, and everybody's in suits like you've seen on TV, and they fly into the CDC, and the CDC says, oh, we cured them with this magic serum from this small company in San Diego. Bullshit. You know, so it was all staged to cover up that. And so then the congressional inquiry never happens. And I think the same kind of thing we can talk about with 911. So in 911, what happened? Oh, in Fort Detrick, Maryland, somebody said they put anthrax in the mail, and the doctor who, you know, was suicided. I am not going to say, killed himself. I'm going to say who was suicided, supposedly for releasing that anthrax. Was a guy named Dr. Bruce Irvins, and he was killed, and the scientists, you know, are scapegoated. And this is what happened to me in 2009 when I published the mouse leukemia, the mouse cancer-causing viruses, contaminating a lot of the biological medicines, and most likely entered humans. The zoonosis occurred through vaccines. So it brings up that the other big lie we're being told by Tony Fauci, and we've been told this a number of years, the flu vaccine doesn't work, but do it anyway to strengthen your immune system. Well, that's not how the vaccine works. These are live influenza, another kind of RNA virus. What the data shows in a paper that was published late last year shows that they'll tell you that viral interference means you'll develop immunity to co-infections, but not coronaviruses. So actually, they accelerate coronaviruses. So Fauci standing there telling everybody in the susceptible group over 65 and with other kinds of diseases to go get the flu vaccine and inject yourselves with three live RNA viruses at least, and then some bird because it's grown in chicken eggs. So bird retroviruses, bird coronaviruses. So how exactly was it weaponized? Was it spread through the world in part by this vaccination program? And it's not just this year. It's last year and the year before. So when you start to look, and this is what we know happened with Zika in Brazil. They were vaccinating the Brazilians with DTP, and they were spraying the environment with weaponized mosquitoes, admittedly. And that's Zika jumped out of the population there in Brazil, and they said, it's Zika, causing the brain, the microcephaly with the babies born deformed with the brains. And it wasn't that at all. It's driven by the vaccine because you dysregulate the development of the immune system. And I wonder when I see them spraying the streets and people in all these hazmat suits, and I'm thinking, WTF, what are you spraying? We don't have bats on the streets of L.A. And you can, when you start looking at all of this, of course, you can't say anything other than this was planned and this was carefully organized over a number of years. Why did the CDC put out a job request starting November 15th of 2019, ending in the middle of May for quarantine officers in all 50 states, in New York, in Puerto Rico, quarantine officers? Last year, did you know we were going to need quarantine? So this is, you don't have to do molecular biology to know, I'm not saying anybody's smart enough to piece together a weapon. They're not, but we're not God. And I know what my job was in the 90s, and that the difference between the pathogenic Zaire strain, the highly pathogenic, and that was cultured in Fort Detrick and was very different from the original Zaire strain, which the people in Africa and in Liberia have lived with and all their lives, generations, not jumping species. That was an inflammatory signature that looks extremely close, the same kind of signature of disease that we saw with the XMRVs, that we saw with the Ebola back in 1999. It's interleukin-6, interleukin-8, MIP-1-alpha, these macrophage chemotactic proteins. These are proteins, these inflammatory mediators or cell communications. They tell your immune system, there's a fire, go to the fire and put it out. but it doesn't get a stop sign and it doesn't get the signal that says, no, that's just a few burning embers. And that's what inflammation is. Turn up the fire. So in an old person who doesn't have a stop sign and has taken, usually taking drugs, usually been alive, had a lot of environmental toxins, they're not as healthy as a young person, they can't turn off the fire. And this is exactly how SARS coronavirus 2, the more aggressive, is killing people by just driving the collateral damage. It's your own immune system killing you. So the thing to do, and I know Tony Fauci and the CDC and all of the people over there at NIH and HHS are smart enough to know this. So when they stand there and say, get the flu vaccine anyway, let's just say 2017 when it was 20% effective. Why would you do that? Why would you infect three upper respiratory, three flu causing with diarrhea, upper respiratory viruses, live viruses? Why would you inject those into the susceptible, drive their inflammation, and then make them 36% more susceptible to the coronaviruses? And because they affect the lungs as well. So why would you do that and tell people?
So that right there is almost a smoking gun, because they know this. Yeah. The flu vaccine makes you more susceptible to this coronavirus and this COVID-19, right. And they keep telling people to take it. And that's why you think they've been planning it for this long. Is that why it's also affecting the older people? Because the younger people haven't been taking the flu shots as much.
Well, and are taking them or, have gotten them. They give a 4-time stronger dose to the elderly. So not necessarily as much, but, the people that are, we've done a couple of vaccine court cases as experts saying this is called a cytokine storm. And I think I sent you the National Geographic article that clearly explains how it kills you. The virus doesn't just go in and blow your cells apart. That's not how it happens. And in fact, people are lying to you if they tell you it does. And they give a 4-time stronger dose. So my husband is 81. He has COPD from a bacterial pneumonia infection that he was hospitalized for when he was in his 30s. And if he walked in a hospital right now, doctor coughing, which we cough endlessly, I'm an identical twin and my lungs form last, so I always get pleurisy when I'm under stress. So you stress an animal and you suppress their immune system, and that activates the dormant microbes, and so you get a perfect disease engine storm, and then you walk in there coughing, and the ER personnel are instructed to diagnose COVID-19, which means coronavirus infectious disease. And we know now in Italy that these people have three or more disease. That doesn't satisfy Hill's criteria, Koch's postulates, or anything else. There is no coronavirus infectious disease because the young and the healthy get nothing. They're asymptomatic. They develop immune response, antibodies, and that's why your government's not testing the antibodies. Because if you test the antibodies, you're going to find out half this country's already immune. And we don't need a vaccine, and we don't need anything else. And so the FDA said, no, that test isn't approved here. And you can see where that test in the simple interferon alpha spray, that was my first job at Fort Detrick, was to purify interferon alpha, and it was on the cover of Time magazine, March 31st, 1980, a few months before I graduated college. And I said, that's what I want to do. And they called it the big if, the magic bullet for cancer. And of course, so many cancers are driven by infections that drive inflammation. Inflammation's the heart, at the essence of cancer, chronic disease, everything we see, and even cardiovascular diseases. So we're seeing people, even a few years ago, who got that super strong older people flu vaccine because they were required to, or they couldn't go to their social gatherings and their family centers, that they they weren't allowed, or doctors and nurses. So it's these doctor people that are being forced, mandated to get the flu vaccine. Now this program has ramped up over the past 5 or 6 years as more and more of our freedoms are taken away because of that cover up that vaccines don't cause autism.
Well,
they can. And
well, and that's what I'm concerned about is what their plan is for this vaccine going forward. Have you, before we get into that, are you familiar with C60? And I need to send you some of that stuff because it is 200 times.
I love Fullery. Buggy balls are fabulous packaging.
Well, I know what it is. Yeah, because it's like a vacuum cleaner for free radicals and reducing inflammation. And so we're just like.
Correct.
And then we have this diffuser, atomizer, it gets right into the lungs. So for my parents use it twice a day. I want people to understand how well this works because it can save a lot of lives in this mess we're in. But I want to ask you, go ahead.
We mix that C60 with cannabis and it calms the inflammation. So I take that balm and I mix it with cannabis, and it's, and then like you say, you can nebulize it, you can put it right on your chest with a little menthol, just like we used to do mentholatum. There are so many simple healing things out there, and that we are stopped from getting them.
Exactly.
By our FDA. It's called anecdotal by Tony Fauci. No, it's on the list of essential medicines, the Plaquenil. We give it for rheumatoid arthritis. It's not inconsequential that these older people have a lot of inflammatory diseases. They're old. You know, regardless of whether or not they've been vaccinated, they've been around a long time and taken a lot of toxins, especially inhaling all the pollutions. Here in California, all the fires. Oh man, that did a lot of damage to our throats and our, you know, and so, yeah, and the chemtrails, that aluminum will hurt your breathing. So, you know, chemicals drive pathogens and vice versa. And there are a lot of ways to do it. So, you know, weaponized, how it was released, plutonium, all those fires, how many 900,000 acres burned in Australia? You know, all that plutonium.
These people are crazy. They're crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Denmark, because Denmark has passed legislation before even a vaccine comes around that they're going to do forced vaccinations on their entire population. I'm scared that they're going to do something that stupid. Listen to me, everybody. That's stupid here. What do you think?
Well, we have never made an effective vaccine for HIV, for any coronavirus, for any flu virus. Why do you think we have to keep giving them every year? Because they don't work. So absolutely, absolutely no. I mean, they won't force us. We will have a revolution. But that's why I'm telling everyone right now, we don't need a vaccine. Get the antibody test. And I can make that information. It's already available. It's already out there online. If you have IgG or IgM, IgG is a past infection. IgM is a recent infection. It's a color change. It changes blue. It's a simple 15-minute test that you could see if you have the antibody. If you have the antibody, you're immune by definition, and we don't need a vaccine. And what we can do is plasmapheresis. Those people who have been infected and developed antibodies, give those antibodies. That's a vaccine. Give somebody the antibodies. Don't infect them. This is what the vaccine program of now 40 years, it doesn't work. And I'm hoping if everybody says, no, I want to know if I'm already immune. No more vaccines. Nothing. Prove your immunity. If you have any, and they can't say that natural herd immunity hasn't occurred, or they can't say there's no such thing as herd immunity, or they changed the term last year with the measles to community immunity. Well, what we know with the measles is I got infected as a 5-year-old. Oh, big bad measles. We had a little measles party. The whole family got sick, and I stayed in bed for a week. I had a pretty severe case. But now I have lifelong immunity. So I'm not, you know, I'm in these acute infections.
You don't get the same lifetime immunity by taking a vaccine, from what we understand, than you get
it's
from
absolutely
actually
not.
having it in the first place. Like chickenpox. There's no reason why children should get chickenpox vaccines, because chickenpox isn't going to hurt them. It sucks. Well, I remember having chickenpox as a kid. It sucked. But it's not going to kill you.
Right. And we now appreciate the immunity. And in the chickenpox case, the reason for all the shingles younger and younger and younger and younger is the vaccine. It didn't work. You used to get your old people would be taking care of the grandchildren and they'd get a little bit in their nose. You know, a little bit of this coronavirus in your nose, you have an immune system. You don't inject it, for Christ's sake. You don't inject live viruses into people who have inflammatory diseases or cancer or anything else. I mean, I cringe every time I walk into a cancer patient, a doctor's office. They're giving them the flu vaccine. And I pointed to it last time, and of course, smart cancer patients will say, no, you've got an immune dysfunction by definition. You can't do that. If you're fighting cancer, you will kill them. And that's what I pointed to the sign, and Dr. Rossetti said, oh, yeah, they have to kill them before the chemotherapy does.
Exactly,
because,
yes.
Of course.
Oh!